Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. Mark Lawrence here. Mr. Joe McGranahan is with us. We're going to have Kevin Herr here, but he's gone. He's left Danville an hour ago. I don't know what happened.
He's sitting in a rather long line, and knowing Kevin, he's pounding on the steering wheel and uttering oaths that you would, take the skin off a newborn baby.
He's swearing an oath.
Well, I don't know if it's an oath, but he is swearing, I'm sure.
All right. So no,
he came in here yesterday after he finally arrived in the building and demanded that we discuss this issue.
Yeah, he was.
And as usual, we ignored him.
Right, for 10 minutes or so. But then we talked to him a little bit. So, yeah, Northumberland's. And yesterday, something happened. There must have been some glitch or something. They had folks waiting a half an hour to get through town.
Well, it looks like they're waiting longer than that now in both directions.
Kevin says it's only 20 minutes to get through Nori.
Today?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then he's feeling better about things today.
Right. Well, it takes him, when you leave, you know, door to door, it takes 20 minutes to get to Nori and then 20 minutes to get through Nori. And only a couple minutes to get up the hill to here.
Well,
but yeah, I got stuck at a line and a half yesterday. So they had some kind of glitch yesterday.
Well, his mantra is the stoplight. He said, "How smart do they have to be at PennDOT to figure out the light doesn't work?"
Look at that. Can you tell me what's actually stopping the traffic there and causing
the stoplight at the
red light? Right. Okay. I don't know too much about traffic signs, but I can tell you when you see a thing.
Well, you know, if they put an officer there to wave the traffic through,
right. And then don't let the orange street. Well, and the other thing is, okay, Kevin had to wait 20 minutes to get through line, all right? So, that's his fate. You know, he sort of has to accept that.
He chose to live in Danville.
Right. So, okay, so you have 20 minutes in line. But people who are on Orange Street at this Orange Street light, as soon as they get in line at the Orange Street light to get across,
right,
the light changes. So they wait 1 minute, but people on Route 11 wait 20 minutes. Where's the, I hate to say fairness there, but, you know, what kind of a traffic light does that?
What kind of a traffic engineer permits a light to do that?
Right. Oh, yeah. Who's going to bed at night thinking, okay, we've done all we can?
Wouldn't they be better off perhaps with flaggers who could monitor the situation and then adjust the flow a little bit better than an arbitrary light that just blinks from time to time?
I think you would, but it kind of goes back to what we talked about before. No one in the world has an incentive to do that flagging. The construction company doesn't.
Costs money.
They don't care. Yeah, PennDOT says we've taken quite a few measures to get people through town. We've done what we can, and that's that. To put a human there? Kevin just got here. Now, I kid you not, folks. He left home right around 7:30, a little bit after 7:30
or so. I notice he's frothing at the mouth, so you may not want to turn his microphone off.
It's now a 45-minute commute.
From your house.
On average,
and you're
yeah.
in the heart of Danville.
How much of it is waiting to get through Nori?
20 to 25 of it.
Okay.
Let me tell you this. Mark Lawrence started the news as I hit the traffic stop.
Oh, that was at 8:10.
Right.
You just got here.
Yes.
And you could see the station practically. You
could
see the towers.
Right. I could see the towers, but I can't get there. Listen, the real problem with this is everybody, Mark, you would say this on the air. Most people would say this. Take an alternate route.
Well, there is no alternate route.
Well, you can't go the back way through Riverside. That's not really any better.
Well, why can't you go across 80 to up above?
That's the only alternate route really there is.
And you're moving. I would rather move than sit in a line.
And believe me, that is the route home on a Friday. And I can tell you this much, it will be the route home on the Friday before Memorial Day weekend.
Why not the route in?
Well, that is 45 minutes. So,
but it's 45 minutes anyway.
Yeah, you have a slight chance.
But you are moving.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm making progress if I'm moving. Well, I don't feel like I'm making progress if I'm sitting in a line.
Here's the plus. If I'm moving, my gas mileage is a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely.
So
yeah,
I am saving some money.
You'll average 20 miles a gallon, but sit in the Norrie line and your average
right, plummets. Unless you have one of those features like in my car, you put your foot on the brake and it turns the motor off until you start to move again.
No, I don't have that feature. And I don't have a hybrid either that shuts off when it stops.
So. We don't even have backup cameras in our cars.
Right.
Okay?
All right, well, I'm sorry.
So please, Joe.
Mine's high def.
So you know, my alternate route was 45. You know, I'd come through Lewisburg, I'd take 45. But now even that's gone because of the bridge over Chillisquaukee Creek.
Right.
I think it's over Chillisquaukee Creek.
Right, and the CSVT, you still have to loop around the back roads here to get, if you come down south on 15.
Yeah, this added money to repair roads has become a blessing and a nightmare all at the same time.
Well, what if you got off at 147 and came down that way? That way you'd be approaching the intersection from a different
where
direction.
Where is it you think 147
Yeah,
goes?
I was going to say, where do you think
no,
that's going
to take you? No, I said approaching it from a different direction.
Well, it would be a slightly less
you'd
detour.
You'd get the benefit of the light that you're complaining about, would you not?
No, because that well, yeah. Well, one of them, yeah, the King Street light.
Well, yeah, the King Street light would help you. You wouldn't hit the Orange Street light, which, I agree with you, Mark. I think that is definitely set up to keep traffic from bottlenecking on 11 North or on Front Street. That's definitely, but you know what? If it's set up on Motion, which I believe it is, because it looks like they have cameras on it.
Yeah, those cameras don't work.
They don't work.
Take my word for it.
That's what doesn't make any sense to me.
The King Street traffic light is right in front of our house, and it does not work.
Yeah, it doesn't appear that they're actually functioning right, or they're functioning so well that when a car sits there for about a half a second, it flips the light over. I wasn't sure which one it was.
Well, and that's part of the problem with 11 and 15 during peak travel times is the people on the cross intersections are getting too much priority. You know, they wait 30 seconds and then the light changes and you gum up thousands of cars trying to go north and south.
Well, what was the outcome of the result of the meeting between PennDOT officials and Northumberland Borough Council the other day?
Monday night. Well, they talked about adjusting some of the other dilemmas in town, but they really didn't talk about the long lines on Front Street. There wasn't really anybody there complaining about that. And the reason for that is the people complaining on the Front Street line aren't from in town.
Right.
They can't walk to the borough council meeting and complain about the
But Kevin
lights.
Is a councilman in Danville. He certainly...
a forward-thinking councilman is what I call him.
I would think his co-workers at Northumberland would heed his concerns.
Joe, you have such a great rapport with PennDOT.
All right.
You have worked so well with PennDOT on the Joe McGranahan Memorial Thruway.
A shill for PennDOT.
A shill, right. I love memorial. That word.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't say memorial. Joe McGranahan.
I got the feeling
the
you're about to bury
thruway.
Me.
But you've done so. Is there a string you can pull here or a conversation that you can start, Joe?
Well, I know these people involved in this, and they're bright people. There must be some reason why this cannot be solved to your satisfaction.
I mean, this all goes back to last summer when you had, was it UGI on 4th Street in Sunbury replacing all the pipes?
Yeah, well, Front Street was
while
blocked
Front Street
with heavy
was,
traffic.
Yeah, well, Front Street was a nightmare. It's like, I get it. You finally have money to do all this stuff, and pipes and
That's
stuff have
news.
To be replaced. I get that. But at some point or another, you have to take a map and go, okay, this construction has now created this detour. Let's overlay this map on top of it and see what this would cause if we did this now. I don't know that that's being done. At least it doesn't appear that way.
Well, I think that they certainly need to take into consideration how traffic flows and the impact on the economy from having people and trucks and businesses held up because of an unnecessary, perhaps, traffic jam. And I think probably my solution would be to put actual human beings at the intersection to make value judgments about the flow of traffic.
Value judgment. Joe has not been a good boy this year, so he's got to wait.
Value judgments about the traffic, Lawrence.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I think any human being would stand there and say, okay, look at this. I'm backed up. You know, put somebody out at the far end of the construction project. Say, all right, it's starting to back up here. Take about 3 minutes and let all the traffic go through there at high speed until they get caught at the light somewhere else.
I don't think I've seen a day where I've come northbound on 11 on Front Street and not seen a backup. Coming into Northumberland at 5
people,
o'clock.
Where are the people going once they get to, into that line? Are they going to Northumberland? Are they going to Sunbury? I doubt they're going to Lewisburg, or they would have taken 80
Sunbury or Shamokin Dam.
I think it's a split. About,
oh, no, and some north. Yeah, it just depends.
Okay. I think it's a split between Shamokin Dam and Sunbury for the most part.
There are options. I mean, you can take 80 if that's viable for you. And what about coming through Riverside and in the back way into Sunbury?
But if you're trying to get to Shamokin Dam, you're still going to hit the traffic issues of trying to cross lights and things like that.
Well, where would you come out? If you come out on 61, you wouldn't. You'd come into Sunbury, and you could take.
You would have to come out onto Shikellamy Avenue. That would be your best bet because hit the light right there at the Edison Bridge.
Well, then take 4th Street and come down until you get to the far end of town and then come across the bridge to Shamokin Dam.
Well, and if I understand what you're saying, take some of these other routes, but how much do you wish to impose yourself on other people in the valley, too? I don't think, like, if you take 642 to 45, I don't think you're imposing yourself on as many people in that way.
Well, you're not going to do that.
But
now,
if you take the old, you go through Catawissa and come into town on Catawissa Avenue or Mile Post Road to come into town, you're driving, 40 miles an hour on rural roads, and some people will decide to go 50. That's a big change to have 100 extra cars every hour going, down Mile Post Road. I think you're creating another dilemma, not a major. You might keep moving, but I think you're kind of imposing yourself. Like a lot of people, when they see the line on Front Street, they hit the alleys in Sunbury real fast or Bainbridge
argument,
Street.
The argument you get is they built the roads to be traveled on, so travel on them.
Well, okay. Here's what you have. You have an increased volume of traffic in this area that is unprecedented from what we've ever had before. Think about it, Joe. 20 years ago, the average house had, 1.5 vehicles? Now the average house is almost at 3?
Oh, what did they have? Who drove the half vehicle?
You were going to ask that.
I think what people ought to do right now, every morning at 8 o'clock, or when we come on, 8:30, we should say, all those of you stuck in line and waiting to get in Northumberland, blow your horns for 10 seconds. Ooh, starting now.
The poor neighbors.
would hear that up here.
Yeah. I was going to say that might be a noise ordinance violation.
Well, it would get people's attention. It would get people's attention.
Yeah. Listen, here's the issue you have. No matter what route you're going to go, let's say you try, most people do avoid Northumberland. You're going to go up 80 and then down 15. So now you're causing traffic congestion on 15 in the Lewisburg area. If you go the back way in from Riverside to, because those are the only two routes you really truly have right now. If you go the back way into Sunbury from Riverside, you've got a lot of small, narrow roads there. As Mark said, there's going to be a variation of speed.
You can't text on those roads.
You can't.
Sorry, Joe.
I don't text anyway.
So you're going to have a little bit of congestion coming into Sunbury on that end. There is no good solution to this. And I think, to me, the biggest issue is you took one of the options away by replacing a bridge on Route 45. Now you've gone from 3 options to barely 2 to be able to get to from east and west from Northumberland or Selins Grove or Danville or wherever.
And besides, my car lets me compose a text just by speaking and send it.
Yes. Yeah, it's a good thing mine does.
It reads incoming text to me.
Have you ever considered giving your full attention to driving?
I do.
Listen, I'm glad mine doesn't let me speak to it, because there would be words that I don't think I'd want to text out.
Asterisk, hashtag, exclamation.
There'll be a lot of unusual characters.
Well, how long is this supposed to go on? Is this the one that lasts
one more
till July?
Year.
No, I mean just this current.
That's the other thing that bugs me. When this started was the beginning of August, give or take. It was going to be, we'll have it done by the end of the construction time. Now, Mark, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, the underpass finished in March.
Yeah.
Not.
It didn't. And by the way, we're going to finish one side and, that didn't happen. And then we're going to finish this by March. No, that's not going to happen. Well, it'll be a year for this detour.
Yeah, to be fair, they got 50 inches of rain last year.
Yeah, they had a lot of rain. I mean, what do you expect them to do?
What do you think? It's not going to rain?
Well, not like it did last year.
Well, you can't work in a trench when it's 18 inches of water.
I mean, I understand that the weather was not optimal for this, but...
Well, that's an understatement.
But you can't tell me it's going to be done by the end of the construction season when you start it in August, and then it takes a year. I'm sorry, I have a hard time buying that one.
We'll take a quick break and we'll give Kevin.
I'm going to give Kevin a shot of Valium.
We're going to give Kevin the
last word.
Give him some Valium and send him back to his office.
Anything else, buddy?
Yeah, as I said this morning to you in a text, a tradition unlike any other construction in Northumberland.
Waiting in line in Northumberland. All right, we'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
That's Kevin talking about borough issues. On the Mark, sponsored by the Northumberland. No, it's not.
Northumberland
Pharmacy. I'm blending my things. Sunbury
Kevin
Motor Company.
Kevin has you so rattled.
Right. Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. The Northumberland Pharmacy, or Nori Pharmacy, as they are known, are one of the hometown pharmacies. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, is the other one. The other one is the Lewisburg Pharmacy. The other one is the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. And the other one is Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. They sponsor our toll-free line, which is open, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, or you could text us at 70236. For Text Connect members, just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. We invite you to sign up for Text Connect at wkok.com. In one sense, we don't get anything from it. We make no money from it. We don't sell your list. We don't sell you anything. We just let you know when there is an important breaking story. And those hometown pharmacies, well, let's chit-chat about them. Terry's in charge out of the Shade Mountain Pharmacy on Route 35 in Mount Pleasant Mills. Tyler's in charge at Trutz Pharmacy on Walnut Street in Mifflinburg. Steve is at the Nori Pharmacy. He's wide open. He says, go ahead and wait in line if you have to get to Nori, but I'll tell you what, you'll be super served when you get to his business, which is right open, wide open on Duke Street, Route 147, Northumberland. Jennifer's at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on the Market Street Plaza in Bloomsburg. Brad's at the Lewisburg Pharmacy on 2nd Street in Lewisburg, and all of these five individuals are people who singularly would like to super serve you like you've never been served at a pharmacy before, making sure that they give you up-to-date information, they'll have sound advice, they occasionally will get a new drug that might be less expensive or more effective for certain treatments, so they look up everybody in their computer that gets a certain pill, and they'll say, hey, maybe you'd want to consider talking to your doctor about this particular drug. This is doing the same thing, cheaper and better with fewer side effects, so make sure you have this conversation with your primary care provider, and that's what the kind of super service you get. Drug take-back boxes, delivery, you name it. You can't get any of that stuff. You can't go to CVS and say, hey, if a cheaper pill comes along, would you tell me about it so I can talk with my doc about it? No, that would not happen. They just send your money to Minnesota and then to China, and that's about all they do there. So this opportunity to super serve Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, Nori Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Lewisburg Pharmacy. All righty, sir. Welcome aboard. Thanks for coming in.
now that we got Kevin out here.
it's a relief. it makes me anxious.
Well, I can understand people's frustration sitting in a line like that.
So, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar said Wednesday that Fox News Channel host Brian Kilmeade is guilty of dangerous incitement for questioning her loyalty to the U.S. She's been the subject of death threats in the past, Kilmeade said on Fox and Friends about the Democrat. You have to wonder if she's an American first.
This came as the result of her comments speaking to an Islamic group of some sort, where she said, talked about Islamic people being put upon because of 911, where she would characterize it as some people did something. And that's where a lot of people are calling her out. She could have taken that opportunity to say that, you know, Muslim extremism is completely unacceptable. Muslim extremists did this, but they don't represent those of us who are good American Muslims who live in this country.
Well, right. You can always come up for better with better words for her in your view, but she spoke how she felt and made an incidental reference.
Some people did something. You don't find that offensive.
Well, I don't find it offensive. I'm sure it glosses over what really happened there, but you can't give the full history in every speech.
But there's a better way to say that.
Nobody of the Muslim faith will ever speak directly the way you want them to, because they're different people.
Many do. I have heard any number of Muslim leaders condemn the 9/11 attack in no uncertain terms.
They have different faiths and different experiences, different experiences after 9/11. So they're not going to talk the way you do.
What are you first? Are you a Muslim, a Jew, a Lutheran, a Catholic first, or are you a United States citizen first?
I'm like Ben Reichle. Whenever I introduce him with his long list of accolades, he says, well, I'm an American first.
Okay. Well, if you're an American first.
No. American.
American.
Right,
okay. That's how he says it, right?
I'm sorry. He does.
All right. Well, I'm an American first.
Okay.
You know, and I would find any characterization diminishing the 9/11 attacks to be just as reprehensible as I find people who deny the Holocaust took place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can respectfully refer to that. You don't have to.
What did she say that was so disparaging?
She said some people did something. Some people did something. If I can find the exact quote here.
Now, the whole speech was about something else entirely. She's talking about how Americans were treated after 9/11.
Right. She talked at the event about how many Muslim Americans felt like second-class citizens in the wake of the September 11 terrorist attacks. She said the rights organization started after people were losing civil liberties because, quote, some people did something. That reference to the attack, some people did something, struck some of Omar's critics as a too flippant description of the assailants that day. And she was called out by, among other people, another congressman, and Brian Kilmeade just said you have to wonder if she's an American first.
So you agree she's un-American, or you just question whether she's an American
first? I don't question. No, I think she's American. I watched the link you sent me to Mr. Colbert's show with her interview. She seems like a reasonable person like that, but, I mean, Mr. Colbert couldn't have fawned over her anymore if he'd been paid to do it. So he didn't exactly ask her hardball questions, and the questions he did ask didn't make a lot of sense to me. But her answers were cogent. I mean, she gave responses, and she said all the right things. She said that
she speaks in lockstep like a little lemming, like Joe
let me finish. She said that she, being new to, you know, this, she doesn't always, and not having the history, she is an alien. She came from outside the United States. She's an immigrant. She's a person of color. She's a Muslim. So she says it's easy to dislike her because she has all those boxes checked. You know, so people can find it very easy to dislike her. But she also pointed out that, you know, being new to the political arena, she doesn't know, and not knowing all the history associated with everything that has happened in this country, that she sometimes doesn't realize the words she uses could be considered offensive to people. She says that when she hears from people that they have been offended, she takes their concerns seriously.
And she has not elaborated on her remark, some people did something, in reference to the 9/11
Well, he
attacks.
Didn't ask her. He didn't. The part of the interview, I wasn't able to watch the whole 11 or 12 minutes of it, but I watched most of it. And I didn't hear him ask her about that. Now, maybe he did. Did you?
No, I don't think he did.
Okay. Well, I was surprised he didn't ask about it.
I think he ran out of time.
Well, I mean, he was so busy throwing softballs at her.
I don't think he was. I think he brought up every controversial topic, her friction with Nancy Pelosi, her issue with Republicans Israel.
He so hedged it. I mean, he didn't
come
right out
and
say.
Well, that's what he does. He just sort of mentions topics that have come up and lets people. He doesn't really ask questions.
Well, as a news person, then you shouldn't be doing interviews if you don't want to ask tough questions.
Well, yeah, right. I don't think he is a news interview. I think he's an entertainment late-night entertainer.
I don't find him terribly entertaining either, to be honest
with you. Fine. I don't either. I don't watch any late-night TV.
It's not like the old days where you had Johnny Carson, and then after that...
Those were the days. They spoke the way we wanted them.
And it's funny, I really like Stephen Colbert.
Do you really?
I really do, yeah. I don't think he's a good interviewer at all, But that's not what he's being paid for. He's being paid to be funny.
And I think his shtick is to be a bad interviewer. Isn't that sort of his intent?
Yeah, I kind of get that feeling, yeah.
Kind of be like the anti-interviewer.
Oh, so like if we decided this program, your shtick was you would ask absolutely absurd questions to the people we talk to. That would be your shtick.
Oh, I've learned something. I've learned from him, you know, that sometimes if you want people to talk about a topic, you don't really have to ask a question. You have to just have to mention what the subject means to you. You know, I would say, I think veterans should be honored and raised up every day, period. And let the person react to you saying that. And he does that. You know, he says, I think you are fully American, or I think it's wrong that somebody would question whether you're an American first. You know, he just sort of expresses a viewpoint.
All right, well, so Brian Kilmeade, she was calling for his suspension or firing.
And who is he again?
Brian Kilmeade is the host of Fox and Friends, along with Steve Doocy and Ainsley
Earhart.
And that's
at night?
No, that's in the morning.
Okay, thank you.
You would do well to watch it. You would learn something.
I might be busy in the morning. I'm not sure. I don't watch a lot of TV
in the morning. I switch back and forth between that and Morning Joe. I watch Morning Joe when I want to be irritated.
Well, you should be listening to WKOK. You'll learn more.
Well, I do when I go into the bathroom to shave.
Blah, blah, blah.
I turn on Gordon Deal.
There's a visual we could have lived without.
And Gordon Deal's better than all of them.
Thank
How you.
You
like that?
Noted. Thank you, including me. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Still and always will be the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. You can use that, or you can use our on-the-mark at WKOK.com email address. We'll be right back after the CBS News. We'll do some news headlines. We're talking about Congresswoman Ilhan Omar on WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan, mayor of Shamokin Dam. He's not wearing his mayor's robe, but he has one. And he is also on a wide range of committees and endeavors, chair of the CSVT Task Force. So if you're waiting in a traffic line because of construction, don't blame him. He's got a lot of money, extra money in the budget to keep vehicles moving as briskly as possible through the CSVT construction. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, and Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You are welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. Some brief news headlines. Big drug bust in Watsontown. Three people arrested after one traffic stop. Robert Reynolds of Milton for a traffic violation and DUI. Justin Young of Montandon for an outstanding warrant in Northumberland County, as well as a drug possession charge. And Candace Young of Montandon for drug possession charges. Inside the vehicle, they found quantities of synthetic marijuana, which is illegal, heroin, methamphetamine, oxycodone, morphine, Valium, Tramadol, methamphetamines, and paraphernalia. Transitions of PA will host their Walk for No More this Saturday in downtown Lewisburg.
Individuals that register will go around and spot each selfie station, take a selfie. When they come back to the park, they'll upload those pictures as an album to our Facebook page. It's a scavenger hunt for selfie stations. Our volunteers and our community members, the businesses and other organizations are helping to bring education and awareness to Sexual Assault Awareness Month.
Prevention Education Specialist at Transitions of PA, Heather Schneider, says you can get all the details at transitionsofpa.org. One of the most elite field bands to have ever performed all over the world will be making a stop in the Valley tomorrow. The United States Army Field Band and Soldiers Chorus will perform tomorrow at 7 p.m. at the Milton High School Auditorium. We have about a half a dozen tickets here at WKOK. They are free, and the event is sponsored by the Central Susquehanna Valley Veterans Council. The band is the oldest and largest of the field band's four performing components. The elite 65-member instrumental ensemble was founded in 1946 and performed in all 50 states and 25 countries. Tickets are free, sponsored by the Standard Journal and the Veterans Council. Pick them up at Ards Farm, Sunbury Motor Company, Standard Journal, Lewisburg American Legion, or WDKOK Studio. We have some tickets here. And finally, a Vermont public school board has voted to fly the Black Lives Matter flag at a high school. The Rutland Herald reports that the Rutland City Public School Board of Commissioners reaffirmed the plan during a vote Tuesday. A board member says he moved to rescind the board's previous decision to raise the flag to allow for more student input and to address concerns. Students at Rutland High School had initiated the effort to raise the flag and brought it to the board. The Black Lives Matter flag will fly at the school for 400 days, starting April 12th, to mark 400 years since the British slave trade started in the Americas. People opposed to flying the flag say the board shouldn't be taking a political stance and that the flag may be divisive.
Separation of church and state. It's a state issue.
What? This is not a religious topic. Black Lives Matter isn't a church. Do you go to the Black Lives Church?
Well,
there are Catholic Church in Sealsville?
It is considered an article of faith among black people that this is something they need to recognize.
Oh, brother. Oh, brother.
I don't. Should they be flying any political flag?
I'm not. Yeah, that's what it is. This story is only two paragraphs. We need to, you know, sort of the long print version of this story to figure out why the school takes stands. Apparently, they do take stands on issues in order to foment public comment and discussion and awareness and that sort of thing. So,
somebody came up with a White Lives Matter flag. Would they fly that, or an All Lives Matter flag? Would you suppose they would get similar?
I don't know. All Lives Matter sort of become a dismissive thing, you know, to say that.
Why? But it's true. All
right,
lives
right. No, I think the phrase is true, but I think people now think of that as you're dismissing the Black Lives Matter minimizing it.
Say it's a dog whistle. To say all lives matter. So, in other words, only some lives matter. When you say black lives matter, you're in effect saying, well, some lives matter. When you say all lives matter, you're saying all lives, black, brown, red, yellow, Catholic, Protestant, Jew, Muslim, they all matter.
Everybody matters.
Right.
Well,
don't they?
That's a good way to be.
Don't they?
Everyone matters. Yeah,
in Marktopia, you have that rule, don't you?
Everyone matters.
Everyone matters.
All right. Well, we have open phones right now, 1-800-795-9565. We frittered away half the show talking about Northumberland's traffic line. And then we talked about Representative Ilhan Omar. And should you question her patriotism? Or is that just part of free speech? If you want to start a discussion, do you question her patriotism? Is she an American first or a Muslim first?
Here's what Brian Kilmeade said. I didn't intend to question whether Representative Omar is an American. I am questioning how any American, let alone a United States Congresswoman, could downplay the 9/11 attacks. It's notable that neither Kilmeade nor Jeannie Pirro, despite her suspension, apologized or distanced themselves from what they said once it started receiving attention. So is that an unfair thing to ask?
I don't think so on an opinion show. You know, I don't think you should go around questioning people's patriotism or whether they're an American first. And it's just a question. He's not saying she's un-American. She's just asking
He's questioning
question.
How she could downplay the 9/11 attacks.
Right. Read that. Do you have your before he started talking about it, you had found this out.
Right. It was from an article from yesterday. Find it here. Amongst my papers, Crenshaw calls out Omar for describing 9/11 attacks as some people did something. Minnesota Democrat Ilhan Omar is facing backlash after her speech at a Muslim rights group event in which she described the September 11, 2001 terror attacks as, quote, some people did something, unquote. Omar spoke at a Council on Islamic-American Relations, a fundraiser last month where she called upon other Muslim Americans to make people uncomfortable with their activism and presence in the society and criticized the Jewish state. But another part of the speech surfaced on social media earlier this week in which Omar described the terror attacks perpetrated by Al-Qaeda. CARE was founded after 9/11 because they recognized that some people did something and that all of us were starting to lose access to our civil liberties, Omar said in the event. The comments from the Minnesota freshman Democrat, still reeling from a number of anti-Semitic controversies, prompted Texas Representative Dan Crenshaw to slam Omar for her description of the attacks. First member of Congress to ever describe terrorists who killed thousands of Americans on 9/11 as some people who did something, Crenshaw wrote in a tweet. Unbelievable.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We have open phones right now. We did talk about Northumberland truck traffic. We have talked about Ilhan Omar. And to that end, we have two emails. Why don't you go ahead and do the emails, and they'll lead quite nicely up to Dale's call.
Okay. Than says, our extreme leader is teaching our country to mistrust Muslims every day. Some kickback from the offended should be expected. I did watch the morning Trump TV show, and I did learn something. The power of the and that the sadly uninformed people can lead morning shows. I watch the speeches and see the spin. Why can't you?
Because they speak to him. They speak to his conservative ideals. You have an open mind, Mr.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's about as open as you can get. I mean, a new idea hasn't penetrated there for some time. I agree that, you know, there's a certain amount of pandering, but watch Morning Joe. If you want to see pandering, that's pandering on the other side. Isn't that free speech? You should be free to pander if you wish.
Congresswoman Ilhan Omar was on Colbert last night and said everything you want her to say.
Well, she did say all the right things. She did.
Dale, what's so wrong with free speech of these types?
Well, people who know what's going on and who the actual leader of free speech was is Julian Assange. And basically, the CIA invested in global media and finally took them down. So now free speech is totally killed and conversation ended. That's it. No more free speech. I mean, they've been censoring this guy, and he basically is the god of free speech, if you've been paying attention. So basically, now everybody can live in a shoebox. What do you think?
Well, you get crowded in that shoebox after a while.
Well, am I serious? You think you don't think it's the truth that he is basically he was the last standing of free speech, and they shut his computer off 2 weeks ago?
No, I don't think he's the last bastion of free
speech.
You're
not free to think the way you want to think. Right now you're being programmed.
Dale, he's free to think the way he wants to think, but he released a lot of sensitive government information, which is not a good thing to do.
Yeah, listen why he did that, Joe. Joe, do you understand why he did that? Because the United States was investing in third and fourth world countries' media, and they were sitting there feeding their people, okay? Why would we be investing in the third and fourth world countries' media? Why? Because we're trying to give them we're trying to program people.
You lost
and
me.
He was there to stop that.
Could you give me an example
exactly
of
what that's all about?
Could you give me an example of a fourth world country?
Very small countries. Okay, finally have TVs. Okay, probably ain't had or radios. Okay, and guess who invested in the CIA and all this? So basically, free speech is killed and arguments done.
So the free
there
speech,
is no more argument.
The CIA
There's
gave
no
television sets to small countries. Is that what you're saying?
That's part
even
of it.
Even this country, it's the argument's over with. They killed it. They killed free speech.
All right.
And I just said that more you talk about something, the more they attack.
Dale,
something.
Is somebody banging on your door right now to arrest you? you just insulted the government and said that free speech has been taken away, yet you're speaking freely.
Well, it takes a while. There's a delay.
Do I have millions and billions of listeners? And do I, you know, am I thinking outside the box? Yeah, I can think outside the box, but I can't speak outside the box. If I had a billion listeners and I started speaking outside the box, they would come and get me, Joe.
Well, that's about how many listeners there are to this show.
Oh, well, I'm just, okay. It ain't that many.
There you go. Yeah, well, I think there are. Check out Arbitron. All right. Thank you, Dale. Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565. One of our listeners sends us a text. Says, thanks for yakking endlessly about the traffic in Northumberland, but how is it now?
Oh, well, I don't know.
Well, it's much, much better. The line is only about 5 minutes to get past the Orange Street light and everything else. Sunbury is just a little stacked up at the lights, so everything's back to normal. But we're done with the rush hour traffic. So,
well, that's good. One of our texters says, Omar questions people's loyalty to the U.S. if they support Israel, but if anyone questions her loyalty, oh my, the sky is going to fall. Good point.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Paul, you are on the mark.
Okay, I'd like to make a point, and it either may or may not be a topic you want to discuss. But last night on the ABC News, down in Maryland, they had a tractor-trailer truck that overturned on a school bus. One person was killed, and several students were taken to the hospital for examination. Now, this area here doesn't have the amount of students that travel by bus. But if you're trying to promote this area, you're going to have to find some way that if you have a major accident of this caliber, what emergency routes can you provide in order for people to get to a hospital?
Well, if it's in the middle of a construction season, I have heard the 911 people request clearance through communities where the local police go out and make sure the road's clear, and I suspect that's what would happen.
I saw the area ambulance on 2nd Street the other day trying to get through town, and so they're using that instead of Front Street. But you don't want most motorists to do that.
Well, there was a time when I was on the Shikellamy lookout, and they had traffic across the bridge, and I guess it was the DHL ambulance had to go into the oncoming traffic in order to get through town.
Right. Right. Yep, I've seen that happen. Well, and for a while, early in the underpass closure, if there was an ambulance coming towards Northumberland, they wouldn't go through Sunbury. They would come up across the White Bridge, and then the police would stop the traffic, and they could get through there. But now you can't do that. Now that it's just one lane, you'd have to be isolated all the way up to King
Street.
Actually,
I think I did hear them one day where they had a very seriously injured person, and they actually did run them up 11 and then stopped traffic.
At King Street.
At King Street, yeah, to let them through.
A couple of blocks, but then you run the risk of somebody getting on at Wheatley, or I guess that's the only place at this time.
Well, this was before both sides of the road were closed.
There. Oh, well, yeah, right. Yeah, that was common then. Right. Yeah, that was the procedure. All right, Paul. Yeah, good question. I think people are asking that. We've been lucky that the emergency responses haven't happened.
Yep.
While folks have been waiting in line for long, long times. All right, we are going to take a quickie break. Well, we've talked about a couple of things. Traffic in Northumberland of tremendous interest to us, and since Kevin has to wait in the line, I'm told by my lovely bride who went through Northumberland at 9 o'clock that Kevin took the line with him. They all followed him up to the radio station. There's hundreds of cars out front now. But the line is gone now in Northumberland at that location. So that is good. So we talked about Northumberland traffic, and we talked about Representative Ilhan. Is it okay to question, not to say she's un-American, but to question if her top priority is being American, if she speaks out about her Muslim faith or other topics? Is she a Muslim first and then an American, I guess, is what the commentator was asking. Is that okay to ask that question? So that has popped up. What else have we talked about? That is about it.
Well, we have a leftover issue from yesterday with an email on the Starbarned issue and then another on slavery and reparations. So,
all right.
So
Irish
our
slaves.
Previous topics are still generating conversation.
Did you know there were Irish slaves?
I didn't know that.
All right. Wow. You learn something new every day. 1-800-795-9565. Call us immediately. We have open phones. That's the Hometown Pharmacy toll-free line.
Hometown. Such a warm and friendly word. A place of comfort, confidence, and friendship. And as the song goes, everybody knows your name. In today's culture of fast food service and big box mentality, it's nice to know that we can still rely on the warm and friendly comfort of Hometown Pharmacy. There's one near you. Friendly, knowledgeable staff that not only know you by name, but know your meds and know what's best for you, right down to the over-the-counter meds for those quick day-in, day-out situations that may arise. Your Hometown Pharmacy. that hometown feel that we all want. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. In Mifflinburg, it's Trutz Pharmacy on Chestnut Street. Bloomsburg, it's the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on Market Street. And the Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Your hometown is calling you. Your independent hometown pharmacy. Every season, every day.
Good music.
Oh, okay. I wonder what you were waiting for.
1-800-799. I'm rocking. I'm dancing. I'm having a gay old time here. 1-800-795-9565. Oh, are you okay, buddy?
And speaking of gays, we have an issue with the Star Barn.
Oh, okay. We'll call that one up. Boom. One of our listeners sends us a note. The core, if you go to the Star Barn's website, which is like starbarn.com, easy to remember, they have a mission statement.
Actually, a core value statement,
right.
Not a mission.
Well, it says at the top, mission statement.
Well, that's true, but it's core values that spells out their religiosity, if you will, using your word. It says, God honoring. We believe that everything we have is a gift from God that we are to use to honor Him through our activities, events, and endeavors. No event that directly contradicts the Word of God will be permitted to take place on the premises. Actually, I don't know when this was created. I said to you off mic, and I feel that way. It looks like this was created after the controversy.
Right, and we know it was created this year.
Right, because it's copyright 2019.
Right, the whole thing is, the whole issue popped up this year.
But they make it clear that they will not discriminate against anybody, that all people are welcome to attend events there.
They just won't let you do a gay marriage there.
Well, I mean, what else would be...
We provide marriage-related services as ordained by God's Word, the Holy Bible, that are consistent with the written truth that marriage is the union of one man and one woman, right there.
And that sort of offends people, right?
I don't think it offends people.
Sort of the Chick-fil-A response.
It's exclusionary and discriminatory, so, you know, it's... But, you know, it's their private venue. I have always argued when we're having this conversation, there has to be some way that somebody can take a section of their conscience and use it to withhold a service or a good or a product if they find that it just goes against their core beliefs. You know, like we always use the argument, would you want to do a product or a service or allow a venue for a hate group to meet in your venue?
Well, and now would that directly contradict the Word of God? Suppose I had a group of my fellow Nazis. We wanted to have a little meeting down there, and all we were going to do is talk about how great Adolf Hitler was. Would that be against the Word of God?
Oh, we're supposed to love each other. I don't think that's a sort of a Nazi.
Well, that was from Jesus, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay, Son of God.
Right.
All right. So everything he said is the Word of God. That would not be permitted. And what if we were a new group of Nazis and we loved everybody and we wanted to have a meeting there to proclaim our love for everyone?
Not really much of a Nazi then, are you?
I mean, other than a gay wedding, what can you think of that would what kind of an event would you think would be held there or booked there that might contradict the Word of God? Yeah, I can't think of anything else. Can you? Directly contradict the Word of God, where God spoke directly that this is not something. Now, God said, if you believe the Bible, that marriage is between a man and a woman. So that anything that contradicted that would be verboten.
If you were set up some sort of an activity to try to break the Ten Commandments.
Okay.
Or a food-eating contest, that's gluttony. You know, we think that's a sin. That's an add-on, though. I don't think that, you know, Ten Commandments.
A swingers party would probably be taboo.
Well, yeah. I think, you know, sex outside of marriage is, I think... You could argue that the Bible doesn't frowns upon that.
Well, you probably hit it on the head when you said the Ten Commandments. But marriage between a man and a woman is not one of the Ten Commandments, is it?
No. Honoring your father and mother is.
Okay, so if we had an event there that was going to
dishonor
our parents. That would be out of line.
Our folks dissing contest is coming up. Say the worst thing you can.
About my parents.
Can we have it at the start?
Yeah, boy.
Well, or if you're going to honor some god other than God.
Well, all right. Yeah, all right. That would
more likely. You're going to honor money or injustice or something
else. We're going to lure Jimmy Hoffa there to take his life.
Our true... What?
Thou shalt not commit murder.
Okay.
Thou shalt not kill.
All right. What does that have to do with Jimmy Hoffa?
Well, we're luring someone there to take his life.
Okay.
Now, I don't mean to make light of it, but I mean it seems like a rather unusual way to phrase it, and I'm certain this was done. At least my feeling is it was done after the fact.
Well, and the Bible's subject to interpretation.
Right.
You know, theology is the biggest science in the world because of that.
Well, you know, how many different forms of Christianity are there? I don't. What's the total number of
denominations?
Mm,
1,000. Anyway.
That's what I would think. You know, and each one thinks they have the right path, the right answers.
Well, you guys think you have the one true church. That's written right into your mission statement.
Well, other people believe if you don't believe the way they do, you're going to hell. So
1-800-795-9565. Wide range of topics today. The Star Barn and their statement of core values, which says they'll only do things there that they find are consistent with biblical teaching. It's right in their mission statement and their core values. Representative Ilhan Omar said some people did something instead of saying the 9/11 terrorist attackers killed thousands of people. Some people say she's paying too little homage to individuals who died.
She could have said
there.
Muslim terrorists who truly don't represent my faith, you know, committed this heinous act, and as a result, many Muslims in our country suffered.
So
and she would have been right.
Joe's doing his specialty, that is rewriting other people's words.
No, but wouldn't she be right if she said that?
Well, I think she could say a lot of things that would pander to Republicans.
That's not pandering to Republicans. That's stating a clear fact that many of her people of the Muslim faith, and there's no argument, were badly treated after the 9/11 attacks. If she had conceded the fact that it was a terrorist attack by Muslims and that other innocent Muslims suffered, she would have been right on the target.
I hope she keeps on speaking out. She's a part of the series of important discussions.
Remind
that are
me,
underway.
There was another one. Since we have a dog's breakfast of topics today, I must tell you about something Maxine Waters did yesterday that's almost
Maxine Waters. Oh, right. To be continued. Demos, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. I want to ask something. I don't know the lady, the Congress lady Omar, but my country coming first and after my religion and after my family. All the times my country is first, because if you lose your country, you lose your religion and you lose the family. So I want to say something. All you know about before the 9/11 happened, a few years ago at the first attempt that two World Trade Center with the ambulance with explosives going inside the basement.
You mean the original 9/11 attack?
Before the 93 or 94 attack, the first one with
on the World
ambulance
Trade Center,
going inside with explosives.
Right.
You think that those buildings was safe?
You mean after that bombing?
After the first bombing?
I think they made it safe after the first bombing. They did a lot of, it was largely in the basement, and there was a lot of work done on the World Trade Center after that.
And they beefed up security.
The thing is, how come they not give the evacuation, Mr. Giuliani, to say to leave the buildings and let 2,801 Americans die.
I'm afraid I can't understand the question. Say that again. I'm sorry.
When the airplanes hit the buildings, All right. Why the commission, the fire commissioner, and Giuliani not say the people to leave the building and let them inside to die?
Okay, I see what you're saying. That they initially, after the first attack, they told the people in the South Tower they could stay put, and they even told people in lower floors that they'd be okay, instead of evacuating the whole building right up front. Is that your question?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. That's a very good question. I mean, it's certainly in retrospect, if they had been more aggressive, there would have been a lot of lives saved.
You see, 2,801 Americans died. So, for what? To find excuses to go on the Afghanistan to.
Well, to do what terrorists do, to create terror, you know, and to.
If you look at the news on Channel 2, they say the one black poet, Amiri Buraka, say, why the IRS are not coming that day in the New York? And why no Israelis killed? Too many Jews, Greeks, Americans killed in the two towers, but no Israeli.
Good luck, I guess, for them.
And if you look in another thing, on June 8, 1967, you know about the USS Liberty?
That's the boat that was damaged by terrorists in a smaller craft, correct?
No, the Israelis bombing the USS Liberty and killed them about 34 Americans, a wounded, and another 171.
Okay.
And so, a few years ago, Mr. Schumer say, was accident, and we investigated, and when we investigated, we say what happened. Nothing happened.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay, we'll give you the last word. We got another caller waiting. Demos, thank you for checking in. What else? Real quick.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for calling in. 1-800-795-9565. Mike's going to be the last caller before a quick break. 1-800-795-9565. Mike, go right ahead. You're on the mark.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I felt that the Congresswoman's statement was extraordinary in that she basically downplayed what had happened. And I agree with Joe that, you know, if she would have rephrased it in a way that he suggested, I think it would have been more palatable to people like myself. And in addition to that, I just want to say, I don't want to take any of your listeners away from your show, but there was a wonderful 10-part series or 8-part series on Hulu, and it's now available on Amazon. It's called The Looming Tower. And if neither of you have ever seen that, it's worth watching. It takes 9/11 and describes basically what happened and how we got caught with our guard down, with the wall between the CIA and the FBI, I think was the main thing there. And it was extraordinary. And John O'Neill, if you know that name, he was in the FBI, who was kicked out of the FBI, and he was adamant that after the 93 attack, they were going to come back and try to take those towers down. And it seemed like our government did not want to listen to what he had to say. And as a result, we had plenty of opportunity to stop these people before the terrorist attack happened, and we failed.
Yeah. Well, and I remember early on in Tom Ridge's tenure there, he said he's got to be the person that helps glue all these different agencies together, that, you know, one person has one piece of the puzzle, and then the CIA has another piece, and the Secret Service has another piece, and the Treasury, well, not the scrap, that would be the Secret Service, but, you know, the FBI has one piece, and, you know, the new divisions of Homeland Security have another piece. So, you know, he said he's going to be the strings that ties it all together.
Well, exactly. But like I said, there was a wall between the FBI and the CIA, and based on this documentary series, the CIA misled the FBI and basically hid information about two terrorist hijackers that were in the country and kept it from them. And then the way the series made it out is the CIA people actually lied during the 9/11 investigation. So it really, it comes from the Pulitzer Prize-winning book, The Looming Tower, by Lawrence Wright. And, you know, again, it's a documentary not strictly based on the truth, probably in many cases, you know, due to dramatization and stuff, but it's really worth watching. I think it gives good insight into the way the security of our country is run in the different government agencies. And I think it goes to the old saying, the more you know, the worse it is. And that's all I wanted to say. It's called The Looming Tower. And, you know, people in your position with what you do, interacting with the public, I think it would be really a good series for you guys to spend some time.
And you say it's available on Netflix now?
No, it's not Netflix. It was produced for Hulu. Originally, but if you're an Amazon Prime member,
you can get
the whole series. It might cost $9 or something like that. I actually saw it on Hulu, and then I wanted my son to see it, who's getting ready to go to college, and we bought it on Amazon so that we could watch it.
Okay.
All right.
Well, check it out.
Noted.
Thanks for calling.
All right. Thank you very
much.
You're
welcome. Take care now.
1-800-795-9565. A couple of topics. One of our listeners, Demos, concerned about Israel's role in the 9/11 attacks. I think I gleaned that accurately from there. And one individual still concerned about the lack of communication prior to the 9/11 attacks. We got onto that because of the conversation about Muslim terrorists that did perpetrate 9/11, and Representative Ilhan Omar's probably unfortunate statement, even she would have to agree now, very distracting in any way for her, saying some people did something instead of saying that close to 3,000 people died in the U.S. on 9/11 because of the terrorist attacks. So what's your view on those topics? We also talked about Nori truck traffic, and that seemed to actually have some legs this morning. So we'll take all comers. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. I'm dying to know what Maxine Waters said yesterday.
So I'm going to tell you.
We're going to find out shortly here. 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to On the Mark, 1-800-795-9565. That's our toll-free hotline number, brought to you by the good folks at the Hometown Pharmacies. Our entire program is brought to you by the very nice people at the Sunbury Motor Company, where they've got all kinds of great cars and great deals for you. And Mark Lawrence is back with his cup of coffee now.
Well, it's a continuation of the first cup. It's okay. Not a new one.
Well, I have to tell you this story.
Please.
Because yesterday I thought it was amazing. Maxine
Waters.
Now,
this is the woman, a low IQ woman?
That President Trump described as a woman of low IQ individual, I think he said. And then compared her hair to the late James Brown, with a certain similarity between their hairstyles, I will admit.
So he
that.
Nailed that one.
Right, but she is chairman of the Banking Committee in the House now. And yesterday there was a group of, I guess, like 6 or 8 very important bankers there, and she wanted to discuss the school loan issue. And she said to them, which one of you wants to be the first to answer this question? What are you going to do about the student loan crisis? And the first banker said to her, we haven't made loans since 2008 or 2009. She didn't remember or didn't know that the federal government took over student loans years ago. Hmm. None of those bankers sitting there had anything to do with making loans for students. So then when they finally, somebody pointed that out to her, she switched directions and asked if they could come up with some kind of a product that would eliminate student debt. Well, when you borrow money, you got to pay it back. So I can't imagine what that would be.
But do you think that's all there is to the student debt crisis, though? As you borrow money, you have to pay it back. There's nothing else to this?
Well, I mean, the question becomes, how much are you willing to spend for an education? When I went to college, there weren't all these programs, so if I didn't have the money, I wouldn't have gone. You know, and but I would
yeah,
not
you
have
had to save up.
I would not like to have come out with, you know, thousands of dollars in debt.
Tens of thousands of dollars.
And if you happen to be in a profession like medicine, it can be hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of debt. You know, but what did you get? You got an education, and theoretically you got an opportunity to make a fair amount of money to pay it back. So if the university gave you the education and you paid them the money, but you had to borrow the money from somebody, that seems like a completed transaction to me. The next transaction is I get a job and I pay back the money I borrowed to get my education. You know, unless you're going to say that all education should be free, as Bernie Sanders and some on the far left are proposing, I don't know how you'd ever finance that, or somebody'd have to pay the bill. I don't suppose
Well, you raise taxes.
Right. College professors aren't going to work for nothing just because somebody's decided it's a good idea to give a free education.
Well, and how would you discern? Money's always been a discerning factor between schools, too. You know, Harvard costs $200,000 a year, but guess what? It's a more reputable school. Your diploma means something at a business more than it does if you have a Lawrence's Worthless College in Berwick. Not that there's anything wrong with that school.
Every kid I've known who's gone to college has talked about the package that they get from the universities. I mean, most of these universities
right,
have huge endowments, you know, and they. So why are kids coming out with all these endowments, with all these colleges soliciting their alumni for large sums of money, which oftentimes are generously given? Why is it that education, the cost of it, is so expensive? Is it they build new buildings? Look at Susquehanna, the explosive growth they've had down there. And yet, at the same time, I believe their tuition has gone up, too. I mean, they require the kids to study abroad. They built new buildings. They've improved their infrastructure and their ability to teach far beyond what it was when I came here.
The ready availability of loans has gone hand in hand with that. You know, the schools got more and more expensive, and people started borrowing more and more, and so more. You know, there are private school loan firms that exist. Now, maybe these five major banks that were there aren't part of student loans anymore, but there are college loan companies out there that's what they do. They loan at a slightly lower interest rate to students. You know, I forget the name of them, but I'm familiar with one of them.
But aren't you concerned that the lady who is in charge of this committee didn't even know that the federal government took over student loans?
Right. So she needs to bone up on that topic. Well, in the okay, so like you and I might forget that student loans are federally subsidized, and so that would be something we wouldn't have top of the mind. But that means she was ready to ask a pointed question about which she hadn't
prepared. She was starting off. She was going to get him. You could just tell the way she asked the question
she's
at first.
Grill him.
It was an interrogation. And then when the guy pointed out to her that she was wrong, her whole tone and demeanor changed into, well, can you help us here?
All right, 1-800-795-9565. Representative Maxine Waters, unaware that the federal government subsidizes student loans, but there are private loan companies out there. Let's take our last break of the morning.
Okay.
We have talked about Maxine Waters. We have talked about Representative Ilhan Omar and her comments about 9/11, and then a Fox News host saying, is she an American first or not? Is she a Muslim first?
And well, he didn't ask that. He just said,
is she an American first?
Right.
1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. And we talked about NORI traffic. So one of our listeners sent us a note about Representative Omar, so we can read that. We have another one that says, Irish slaves. We got one call coming in. Let me tell you about On the Mark and specifically the Sunbury Motor Company. I could talk all day about On the Mark, but I'm going to talk about the Sunbury Motor Company, about whom I could also talk all day. They invite you to visit their Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. I haven't been to the Quick Lane in almost 24 hours, but we invite you to stop there. They take care of your inspections, pump you up with nitrogen, wash the vehicle, align the wheels, not only the caster, but the camber and the toe in and everything else that has to do with these vehicles. They'll spin balance the vehicles. If that's what you need, they use computers for that, and they make sure the tires are super round, and they're going to take good care of you at the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. Super fast. You go in there, tell them what the dilemma is, and they'll take good care of you. If you need a trip check, you got a big trip planned, and you want to make sure your vehicle's got tight belts and so on, they're going to do that for you. If the inspection, I think it's like within a month or so, you can get that done ahead of time. If you need a trailer hitch put on your car, I'm trying to think of everything else you might want here. Doesn't matter. They do it there. If you have a great big truck that weighs many, many tons, they can fix it at the truck bay.
My car doesn't have a moonroof. Can they put one in for me?
I don't know that they accept. Well, maybe at the body shop they would do that. Yeah, well, they probably would.
Can opener, and they could take the roof off.
Well, yeah, that's how they get it open. But then you have to have a little mechanism, and so
inside,
it's
got
to be functional. So that's precisely the kind of good question you can take to the Sunbury Motor Company. 9 times out of 10, they're going to say yes. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com if you need a pre-owned vehicle or a new one. They're going to help you out at the Sunbury Motor Company.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back, WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. Beatles music, correct? Okay, thank you.
I thought you were going to say on the MOOC.
On the MOOC, well, I probably almost did. I'm blending my stuff.
We have an email from Ben in Lewisburg. He says, I have a problem with a line of credential checking directed toward the representative for her comments. Is she an American first or a Muslim first? That's unfair because we don't apply the same question to Christians. Are good Christians Americans before they are Christians, or do they serve their God before all others? I don't think a strong Christian in elected office would be grilled for saying God is first in their life. Why are we acting like anyone who observes a different religion should be more American than we are ourselves in order to be worthy of elected office? We aren't nearly as tolerant as we pretend to be.
All right. Thank you so much. Chris, you're on the mark. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I agree with that last statement. That was a very good point.
Ben's super smart.
And I do wonder about student loans also. The banks certainly own a lot of, I would think they own a lot of loans that haven't been paid back since 2009. And I think that's part of the student loan crisis, is the long-term debt that people have been carrying around with them.
But they got something for it. I mean, if you buy a very expensive car, you can't expect to have the loan forgiven just because it costs you a lot of money.
If you buy a very expensive car and you go bankrupt, you get that loan disappeared.
And a student loan doesn't if you go bankrupt?
That's right.
Why not?
Because they wrote it into the law.
So that even if you're bankrupt, you owe that student loan repaid?
Yes.
Okay. And what do you think the philosophy behind that is?
I wouldn't care to... I assume they wanted to protect somebody's interest in giving the student loan.
Well, I look at it this way. I mean, there's a finite amount of money available for these things, and to the extent that somebody defaults, that's money that's not available for the next person to get a loan to go to college.
Well, that's probably true of car loans as well.
Well, not necessarily, because at the end of car loans,
Chris,
at the end of it, put him on hold a minute, because I can never make a point. The simple fact is that when a car loan is defaulted, you still have an asset you can reclaim. You can't reclaim somebody's education.
Intellectual property.
You've given them the education, and so that's what why they are saying you still have something of value, so you still owe.
Go ahead.
Yes, I don't really think that's essential to the question of trying to solve the crisis and whether these bankers would have something in an interest and an opinion on it. That's all. That's the only point I was making.
Okay.
And I really don't know if there are loans that, I mean, after 10 years, if you haven't paid it back, I guess the car might not be worth its value, or if you loan the motor out or things like that on cars. So I think it's kind of nitpicky one way or the other and not really germane.
I don't think you can get a 10-year car loan.
To return to Representative Omar, I think if you, maybe if you were Muslim, you might understand why she phrased it that way. And there are certain things that she'd say that I wouldn't, but I would compare it to Trump's statements about divided loyalties.
Joe wants her to talk a certain way. He's going to suggest the right way. Thank you, Chris. We'll take you first thing in the morning with more thoughts and observations.
I just suggested a way she could have phrased it that would have conveyed the same thing, but would not have been so objectionable to many people.
Enjoy your three-day weekend.
I will.
John Shipman's in tomorrow. This is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.